May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I think it was last week or maybe the first week when I got back from Africa, I read this passage. Just want to reference it again and look at some scriptures. This is when Paul was persecuted again and basically drove them, Barnabas, out of town. In verse 51 it says, "But they shook off the dust of their feet in protest against them." But the words "in protest" is not there, it's in italics. It just says they shook off the dust of their feet and went to Iconium. And the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And what we said was is that dust always represents our humanity. And everywhere they went, they were lied about and they were abused and Paul was stoned and all these things happened to them. And it's so important when people mistreat you, when people hurt you or they talk bad about you, that you shake off their dust that gets on your feet because it affects your walk. And it's not a coincidence, it says that they went on continually filled with joy and Holy Spirit. You can't move on in joy and in the power of the Spirit if you let people's dust stick to you. One of the ways that I can always tell if I'm not really shaking somebody's dust off of me is that one of the things I learned years ago is that we always bleed out of our mouth. And if there's still a broken place there that you've not transitioned into the place of joy and you've shaken the dust off, is that you just have to keep talking about it. You keep telling new people about what happened to you, about what somebody said to you. It's really important that you hear this because it'll keep you from walking in perpetual joy and in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Don't be crying out for the fullness of the Holy Spirit if you're going to carry an offense towards somebody. It just doesn't work. You don't get to make up a new set of rules. And if you find yourself telling new people about something somebody said or did, it's because you're still carrying their dust on your feet and you can't go forward. So let me just read a few verses and I want to reference a person in Scripture that always amazes me. This is from Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. "And so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you." So I think this is the most important part of Christlikeness. Not healing the sick or raising the dead or casting out devils. That's an important part of Christlikeness. But in terms of character, is the ability to love and forgive. And he said, if you have a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord has forgiven you, I can tell you, God has got some complaints against us. But he doesn't carry them. And he has reasons to have them, but he doesn't walk around with them because he walks in forgiveness and love. Luke chapter 6 says this, verse 27, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you." I mentioned this yesterday, but one of my favorite characters in Scripture is David because God identifies him in Scripture as a man after his own heart. And in Acts 13:22, it describes that, defines that as a person who's willing, always willing to do God's will. Though he didn't always do God's will, it was his heart. He was going after that. So he was imperfect, just like we are. But he had a heart after God. And I believe that he had a heart after God, and I believe he captured God's heart. David lived his life, even in his failure, never excusing his failure. Go back and read Psalm 51. But believed God always cherished him. It was the thing that caused him to be able to repent. See, if you think God's rejected you forever, you don't repent. You just live in remorse and shame and condemnation all the time. And so I really believe that David, especially the last 25 years of his life, he really captured some things that he walked out consistently. But even in his younger days, he just had captured at some level the heart of God. And when you capture the heart of God, you begin to manifest the heart of God. So if you remember David's story, when David was about 18 years old is when he and Saul had their falling out. And their falling out was all because David had defeated Goliath and the Philistines. And the Philistines sang this song throughout their land about Saul has his thousands, but David has his 10,000s. That made Saul very jealous, and he began to persecute. As a matter of fact, his hatred caused him to become demonized. And he began to persecute David, and he assigned 3,000 full-time special forces soldiers. And their job day and night was to hunt David down and kill him. It's one thing for somebody to hire a hitman after you, but to hire 3,000 hitmen whose full-time job is to find you and kill you. And of course, David fled and spent between 8 and 10 years under those conditions, where day and night, 3,000 men were relentlessly seeking him under the king's orders to have him killed. And Saul lied about him, kicked him out of his home. David lives in caves. He lives among the Philistines. Life was hard for him until he was about 28 years old. And a lot of it was because of what Saul had done. But when Saul died, the same day that Saul died and all of his sons died, battling the Philistines, and when David heard about how they died, he expresses amazing manifestation of someone who's captured the heart of God. Listen to what this says. This is 2 Samuel chapter 1. This Philistine comes and lets David know that Saul is dead. This man who had spent 10 years trying to destroy his life, destroyed his reputation, destroyed his home. He lived constantly hiding to stay away from Saul. When he heard this, it says, David chanted his lament. He tore his clothes and mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and his son Jonathan. And then what he did was he wrote this song, and he wrote this song to be sung among his people. And he told them to teach the songs of Judah, the song of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jashar. And listen to what David's song said. Your beauty, O Israel, is slain on your high places. He referenced Saul as Israel's beauty. Because you see, that's how God saw Saul. Even though God wasn't pleased with his actions, God loved him fiercely. He says, how the mighty have fallen. Tell it not in Gath. Don't proclaim his death in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised exult. And then there's more about that. Then he says in verse 23, Saul and Jonathan, beloved and pleasant in their life. O daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you luxuriously in scarlet. He said, Saul blessed your life. He made your life as a nation easier. Who put garments of gold on your apparel. When I was reading that, I thought, that is just crazy. This is a man who hated him fiercely, who made his life miserable, destroyed his life for 10 years, lived in caves and hiding. And yet, Saul not only did not hold bitterness, he had totally gotten the dust off of his feet. There was no anger. There was no resentment. He didn't speak evil of Saul. He refused to. He wouldn't let anybody around him do it. Because all he had was the heart of God. He had captured the heart of God. And he just had love for Saul. All he could speak was blessing about Saul. Called Saul Israel's beauty. Pleasant in the land. When I read that, I thought, man, David may not have been perfect, just like we aren't perfect. But God, I want to capture your heart that way. I want to capture your heart that way. You see, those are the standards we go after. We don't set our own standards and say it's okay to live like this, hanging under resentment and bitterness, talking constantly to new people about things people did to us and said to us. If you've really crossed over, if you've really shaken dust off your feet, see, when I watch people who still hold on to resentment and bitterness, there's no joy in their life. That thing's like a cancer. It eats them up on the inside. It's called bitterness. It makes everything in you bitter. But when you've let go of all that stuff and you're walking in love, joy's coming out. Because there's nothing for you not to be joyful about. Let the word of the Lord be a plumb line. Because there are some people here today who the Holy Spirit's given you an opportunity to be released into continual joy and the fullness of Spirit, and you've been held back because you've not shaken the dust off of your feet of something somebody said to you that was very painful or did to you. And I'm just saying to you, this is a prophetic word, stop praying for more of the Holy Spirit. You're wasting your time until you first get the dust off your feet. And your heart's changed where you're now blessing this person. You see them as the beauty of God. Beautiful before Him. Why can I say that? When they did that, that's the whole point. There are no excuses. Love's not fair. If you're not sure about that, look at that picture. What did Jesus do wrong? Love's not fair. And besides that, whatever that person did to you or said to you, He already paid for it. He did their time. That's not fair either, is it? It isn't fair unless you start appropriating it to your own life. Because how many offensive things have you done or I've done to God and to others? Love's not fair. Forgiveness isn't fair. It's not based on that. It's just the heart of God. It's not good enough that you're grateful that it's true about you and your relationship with God. It's true about that person also. Holy Spirit, come. Even as we approach your table today, convict us, Lord. Lord, you never convict us to make us feel bad. You convict us because we already feel bad and you want us to be free. And it's sin that makes us feel bad, God. Unforgiveness and resentment is sin. And Lord, the evidence is that we think about it all the time still. We talk about it all the time. This is true for us, Lord, me, all of us. God, between now and Eucharist, Holy Spirit, just help us to lay that down at your cross, to stop thinking about that person's sin and to own our sin. We've sinned against mercy, which is the greatest sin a person can commit. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.